Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Welcome. It is so good to be able to share with you today, whether you are at home or here in person. We are one family together, right? We're one family. Whether you are connecting with us on Wednesdays or Fridays or Sunday mornings online or Sunday evenings, we're still one family, worshiping together, loving one another, and it's such an honor and a privilege to get to share with you guys today. If we haven't had a chance to meet, my name is Alan. I'm part of the team here at BCV, and I'm excited to get to continue our sermon series, our new sermon series, Present, with you guys. And in fact, to be fair, it's so much more than a sermon series. As Andy has been sharing with us over the past couple of weeks, this is a whole church commitment this autumn to actively invite and to engage with God's presence in our homes. Intentionally choosing to explore rhythms and practices that develop those deep, intimate connections with Jesus for ourselves and for our households, whatever that household looks like for you. And as part of this, we don't want to just, you know, throw out nice ideas and concepts or talk at you when we gather or at home, but to actually encourage one another to engage in some concrete actions or practices each week that will help us cultivate that awareness of God's presence with us moment by moment, day by day. So whether you've been following Jesus for 20 years or 20 minutes, or you're not entirely sure what you think about following Jesus yet, we reckon that these practices, these invitations into connecting with him will have real impact on each one of us if we choose to try them out, if we choose to engage with them. We're also aware that whether present in the room or watching online at home, simply doing church once a week was never enough to lead us into the life Jesus has for us. And maybe you found yourself realizing that over this last season and these last few months, as gathering together has been taken away from us or changed radically. And if that's you, if that's where you're at right now, don't let that become a guilt thing or a failure thing. We've all at one stage or another or at multiple stages, you know, allowed Sunday mornings and Sunday gatherings to be the anchor point in our spiritual lives, when really God wants to be present with us wherever we are, every moment of every day. He wants us first and foremost anchored to him. And so we hope that along with the talks, that the resources that we put together on the present page on our website will really help us take our focus away from simply gathering in a service and step into those daily points of household connection with Jesus for ourselves. That's what we're hoping for. That's what we're praying for in this journey. We'd also love, if you haven't heard yet, we'd love as a pastoral team to offer to come and in a safe and socially distanced way, don't panic, we'd love to come and visit you at your home. I was going to say in your home. We can't do that. We're not allowed. But at your home, by your home, near your home, something like that. We'd love to bring you a gift and bless you and your household to experience God's presence deeply and personally in this season. If you've signed up for that already, thank you. We are working through the logistics of getting to you all in a safe and measured way, so don't panic, we haven't missed you. If you haven't signed up yet, but you really want to engage with that, check your emails. There was an email sent with a sign-up link a couple of weeks ago. If you didn't get that, or you've lost that, or you can't find it, and you do want to engage, simply send us an email to info@belfastcityvineyard.com, and we'll get you connected in, because we would love a chance to come and bring you a gift to your home. So all that said, how do we engage with the power and the presence of Jesus in our homes day by day? Of course, there are so many different ways, as many different ways as there are different people. But we want to highlight some themes over the coming weeks that we find helpful to press into. Last week, Andy looked at worship and how we can cultivate rhythms of worship in our houses and in our homes and with our households that hold us close to Jesus. If you missed that, check out that talk, check out the resources that are on the website. But today I wanted to look at the theme of telling the truth. Sounds like a strange thing to talk about. Some of you are thinking, well, duh, we know we're in church, we're not supposed to lie. But telling the truth and some really powerful practices that can help us do that. In John 8, Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And during this season in particular, I've been realizing more than ever just how true that is. And it's setting me free. Do you see what I did there? Truth and freedom. Yeah, you get it, right? I don't know about you, but one of the things that I've noticed about myself over lockdown is that I'm finding it easier than ever to get lost inside my own head. Anybody else resonate with that? There's just so much information coming at us all the time in different directions, and some of it really conflicting and contradictory. And certainly for many of us, we're experiencing isolation like we've never really encountered before. There's so much uncertainty and confusion, and then a loss of many of the routines and rhythms that really filled our days. And with that, I find myself at times pulling back inside my own head, having too much time to think things over and have them bouncing around again and again and again, and overthinking pretty much everything all the time. Anybody resonate with that over the last few months? And that is just the prime place that the enemy loves to attack us. More than anything else, more than sickness or disease or natural disasters or, you know, demonic attack or whatever you want to think of course he uses that stuff. But more than anything else, he uses what's between our ears to twist us off course, to pull us away from the life with Jesus that we were made for. Jesus called him the father of lies, and he hasn't changed his tactics in 2,000 years. If he can get us lost inside our heads, inside our own thoughts, twisting doubts and fears and uncertainties and out-and-out lies, he can pull us away from the life that we were made for, away from the peace and the joy and the purpose that Jesus promised each one of us. And the best way to combat lies, the only way that I know, is to tell the truth. You see, the truth sets us free. It breaks any power that those lies have over us. And the practices I want to share with you tonight and today are practices that we want to invite you to explore at home. They won't just help us know the truth. They'll help us speak it out. You see, something happens, something shifts when we can get it out of our heads and into the real world. Believe it or not, a long time ago, I studied engineering at Queen's. A long time ago, I know I've fallen far, haven't I? And we had a computer lecturer who had this very, very weird rule. So our classes for that subject were in a computer lab every week. You know, we'd be behind our own desks, behind our own computer, working away in machines, and he would have behind his desk up at the front of the room. And beside his computer, in every class, he would set a cuddly toy, a little teddy. And if you had a question, something that you were stuck on, you had to come up and ask the question to the teddy first, out loud, to this cuddly toy. And then you were allowed to turn and repeat your question to him. Weird, right? Except it worked. More than 50% of the time, as people went up, they would ask the question to this teddy, they'd never have to repeat it. Because as they verbalized their problem or their uncertainty, as they got it out of their heads and spoke it into being, they realized they already knew the answer. Isn't that crazy? Watch that happen time and time again. There's something incredibly powerful when we get outside of our own heads and bring things into reality. There's something incredibly powerful about speaking out truth or simply writing them down, about getting what's bouncing around on the inside out And I've found personally that rhythms of telling the truth, of getting what's going on the inside out, really does hold me close to Jesus. So we've got three simple steps for us of telling the truth through a couple of passages in Joshua today. So firstly, if we want to tell the truth, we have to take an honest look at what's gone before and what's going on right now inside of us. We need to exercise a muscle of remembering and reflecting. In Joshua 4, we see this key point in the story of God's people. They are about to take hold of the promised land. They've been wandering in the desert for 40 years, and they were about to step into the place that God promised to Abraham generations before, that they've been longing for and hoping for. And as God dries up the waters of the River Jordan and leads them in, Joshua commands the people to lift 12 stones from the middle of the river and carry them with them into the promised land. We'll pick it up in verse 20. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God.'" Last week, we saw Abraham and Isaac and Jacob building altars of worship to the Lord. And here we see Joshua building a marker to remember the truth of what God has done. Something outside of the normal everyday scene. Something to break up the landscape so that the people and their children and their children's children after them were forced to ask, why are they there? You can just picture the scene of a child walking through this landscape with a parent and seeing these 12 giant stones piled up in a field, just sitting where they don't belong, where they don't naturally occur, and wondering and asking why, where did they come from, what are they there for? And the story would be told. The truth of God's goodness and his mercy and his provision would be remembered, would be reflected upon, would be passed on. And one of our hopes and prayers, one of our reasons for wanting to give you guys a gift, something physical to place in your homes, is that it would be a reminder, that it would break up the landscape of your living room or your kitchen or your hallway or wherever you choose to place it, and it would cause you to stop. When you see it, that it would cause you to pause and to remember the truth of who God is, the truth of who God says you are, the truth of what he's done for us. Now, don't panic. It's not a boulder out of the middle of the lagoon or a rusty shopping trolley. Don't panic. But you do have to sign up to find out what it is. So I'm not going to tell you. But one of the reasons we want to do it is to break up that landscape of your house to cause you to pause and remember. In Psalm 77, Asaph is writing just a wonderfully honest report of being stuck inside his own head. If you get a chance, you should go and read it. Of being bound up with a multitude of lies. And then he writes these incredible verses. This is in the NIRV, which is the version we use on a Friday in our Friday church community. Verse 10 of Psalm 77. "Then I thought, here is what gives me hope. For many years, the Most High God showed how powerful he is. Lord, I will remember what you did. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will spend time thinking about everything you have done. I will consider all your mighty acts." And those class verses. Here is what gives me hope. Anyone need a little hope in this season? The key is right here. To pause, to reflect, to remember. And so just as we want to offer a physical gift to help you reflect and remember, we'd love to invite you to use an incredible practice called the Daily Examine to help you pause and reflect and remember. It's a practice to break up the landscape of your day, to shift us out of those normal rhythms of thinking that lead us down the same old worn paths, and instead to draw us into the freedom of God's truth. It's a practice to help us reflect and remember. It's a series of 5 steps designed by St. Ignatius to simply help us become aware of God's presence with us in a moment, and then with Him, to remember or to reflect upon the last few hours or the last day or the last week, however often you use it. It's just an incredibly helpful tool. Some of you have used it before, and for others of us, this will be brand new to us. There's nothing mystical or magical in the steps. It's simply a really helpful process to lead us out of being stuck in our own heads, our own patterns of thinking, and guiding us and leading us through some honest reflecting of what's happening in our hearts. You can see the steps here. I'm not going to go through them and labor them tonight, because actually, and we've got some incredible resources for you on our present website that you can check out. We've got videos of what it's all about and how to do it day by day. We've got some resources of people, you know, chatting through their experiences of using it. You can download this little card, you can put it on your phone or print it out and take it with you and use it to help guide you. We've got resources there to use with your kids as well and your household. And I would highly, highly recommend checking those out. Those resources are live right now on the present page of our website. So give them some time this week and take a risk on a new practice in your life that would help you start to reflect, that would help you start to remember what God has done in the last few moments and days and in the seasons gone past. So we start with remembering the truth of who God is and what He's done. Step 2 then, like I said before, there's something really powerful when we speak out, or at least take the time to write down the truth that we're reflecting on or the truth that we're remembering. When we get it out of our heads, and I'm going to call this confessing. Now, don't freak out. Don't panic. Don't go to a laundry list of sins in your mind and a shovel full of guilt and start doing that horrible Northern Ireland religious Christian thing. Like, just pause. Stick with me for a second. Let's maybe reframe that word just a little bit. In Joshua 24, as he comes to the end of his life, Joshua summons together all the people of Israel. He calls them all together, and he spends the first 13 verses of chapter 24, I imagine it might have been a little bit more than 13 verses in person, helping the people remember, reflecting on all that God has done for them. He helps them remember the truth, and then he speaks out some declarations or some confessions, beginning at verse 14. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. This is a declaration. This is a confession of truth. Yes, he calls them to confess, to a confession of their sins, to repentance, to throw away the false gods that they've begun to worship. And often as we reflect on our days, as we become aware of our emotions, maybe through the practices like the daily examine, and as we slow down in God's presence, the Holy Spirit will reveal our brokenness and our sin. Not to shame us, not to guilt us, not to put us down, but so we can repent, so we can say sorry and speak out the truth that we are loved, that we are forgiven, that we're welcome in our Father's presence no matter what we've done. The truth breaks the power of sin. But more than that, we find this incredible confession or profession from Joshua. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. He speaks it out. He declares it aloud. He takes it from being this nice thought that's inside his head and puts the weight of concrete reality behind it. He steps up and takes authority for himself and for his household, for the household that's been entrusted to him. And in doing so, he calls an entire nation to respond. Talk about building a legacy. He confesses, he professes, he speaks out the truth. Something powerful happens when truth goes from being in our heads and gets out into the real world. I find when I speak something out or write it down, even if it's just speaking it out to myself, even if it's just writing it down in a journal for myself, when I'm aware that I'm in the presence of God, it adds weight to it. It brings courage to my heart. It strengthens my resolve. It catapults me forward. What confessions do you need to make today? What resolutions have you made in your head, either in repentance or in commitment to action, that you need to put down in paper? Or you need to speak out loud? I know it seems almost nonsensical. Like, surely thinking something is enough, right? Why speak it out? Does it really need to be spoke out? Does it need to be written down? But I watched student after student struggle in class and wrestle and find no answers until they went and spoke it out, and suddenly the answer was there. There is power in our words. There is power when we resolve what's in our mind and put it out there for others to hear, for ourselves to hear back reflected to us. There is power in our words. That's why Paul writes in Romans 10 that we need to confess with our lips or our mouths that Jesus is Lord. It puts a weight behind the things that are in our heads. It makes truth concrete and causes them to have an action in our lives. There is more power for your household in you speaking out truth, in repentance or in declaration, than you know. What confession do you need to make today for you and for your household? In this household, we will not be ruled by fear or Netflix. It's a big confession. In this household, we will be generous even when it costs us. In this family, we will do whatever Jesus asks of us. In this family, when we're wrong, we'll admit it and say sorry. We'll forgive each other, even when it's hard. Those are declarations. Those are truths. Those are confessions that, when spoken out, would shift our households. I grew up in a household where perseverance and resilience was spoken of often. And it left a mark on me. What do you need to confess today? So reflection, confession, and then finally, telling the truth is most significant when done in connection with others. Joshua has summoned the whole nation, and as he confesses for his household, the people respond in kind. Verse 16, then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. Joshua's confession, when made in the presence of others, in connection, calls a nation back into God's plans for them. In this season, maybe more than at any other time, we need to be intentional in connecting with one another. You have no idea the power that is added to speaking out truth when it's done in community. For me, there has been nothing more freeing in my life than when, in humility and trembling, I've found the courage to confess my sins, to family or to friends, to those who love me, to have them look me in the eyes and hear the worst of me and tell me the truth, that the cross was big enough, that I'm forgiven. Those moments have transformed my lives. And what might take endless hours of wrestling on my own has often been fast-tracked in true, honest, vulnerable connection. And I've lost count of the times where others have spoken out truth, either about themselves or about me, that has so deeply impacted and strengthened my heart and my intimacy with Jesus. You know, when a friend has the courage to tell me or to text me, you know, what Jesus has revealed about them as they've spent time with him, I get to affirm it, which blesses them, but I also get inspired to return again to that place of intimacy for myself and see what Jesus might want to say to me there. It's both and. In connection, when truth is spoken out, it affects us both. Sharing our truth with others is scary. Like, I get that. It takes vulnerability. It takes courage. But we know all about courage here at BCV, right? We've talked about it enough over the last few months. But the ripples of truth spoken in connection are huge. We find freedom. We call others to freedom. And we invest in a legacy that will outlast ourselves. What steps of connection could you take this week? How could you be intentional in telling the truth to those around you? Church is not what we're used to right now. You don't need me to tell you that. It's not how any of us would choose it to be. But what if God is longing to reveal his power and his presence to you right in your own home? Moment by moment, day by day. What if we, as one family, assembled and scattered, choose to tell the truth to ourselves and to one another? What if we, like Joshua, took responsibility for our own households, whether that's just us or a big family? What if we tried out the daily examine, allowed it to lead us into reflection, allowed it to reveal truth to us? What if we let it lead us into confession, declaring some things to be true in our lives? And what if we had the courage to reach for connection this week? What if Jesus wasn't lying when he said that we could know the truth, and that truth, him, truth personified, when acknowledged and known and declared, does actually release freedom in our lives, freedom in our homes, freedom in our neighborhoods, in our community, our city, and beyond, freedom to hope, freedom to be at peace and full of joy, even when we're stuck in our homes, even when we're distant, freedom to be who we're made to be. Let's practice telling the truth. So as we come to a close, I would love a chance just to pray over us. In a second, you guys will have some opportunity to receive prayer ministry. If you're at home, you can pop onto our website. You can sign up. We would dearly love a chance to connect with you this afternoon via Zoom and pray for any need that you have, spiritual, emotional, or physical, anything that's just being drawn to the surface. If you're in the room, we would love a chance to pray with you afterwards. In just a moment, after I've prayed over us, I'll dismiss us. And then if you want prayer ministry, just remain in your seats and somebody will come and pray with you where you are. For some of us, the truth that we need to hear this week as we slow down and reflect, the truth that we need to have the courage to speak out is that we're not okay, that we're not coping. And our brave and courageous act this week is to ask for help, both from Jesus and from our community around us, to reach out, to message someone, to call someone, to email us at the office or one of us as staff, to tell the truth that we need some help. If that's you, don't suffer in silence. You're not feeling. We want to help. We want to be family with you. For some of us, I had a real sense that as we go to the hidden places with Jesus in the daily examine, as we allow him to take us by the hand and just reflect on our experiences and our emotions, we're going to find some hidden treasures, some things that we didn't know were there. That's going to release us into so much more. I also had a sense that some of us, as we're hearing this tonight, what we're realizing is that we have filled that loneliness, that isolation, that bouncing around in our own heads, we filled it with some negative patterns to kind of numb the pain over lockdown. That's not a guilt thing. It's not a shame thing. I just think there's a moment, there's an invitation from the Holy Spirit to confess. Not because somebody else can set you free, but when we speak it out, it breaks the power. And we find freedom. And if that's where you're at tonight, or if that's where you're at today, we'd love to pray for you, either online or here in person. And then finally, as I was praying for us, I just had a sense that there's somebody either at home or in the room, you're suffering from a spinal condition. I saw like a couple of discs in your back were out of place, or there was a bend or a curvature. And I just had a sense that God wanted to come and heal that and release you from pain. So why don't you guys, if you're in the room, why don't you stand? If you're at home and you want to stand, you're very welcome to do that. I'd love to pray over us. Then I'm going to just pray a blessing over us all. And then if you don't want to receive prayer and you're in the room, we'll release you to go. So Jesus, we know that you are with us right now. We know that you are truth and that you came to set us free. And so we ask right now, wherever we are, whenever we're receiving this, would you meet with us in power? Would you fall on us now? Would you come speak truth to our very souls? Would you release the courage to confess, to profess, to declare out loud who you say we are? Would you lead us to those treasures? Would you break those patterns? And would you give us a fresh authority to minister in our own homes, to ourselves and to those that we live with? Come, Holy Spirit. Come rest on your people. And now as we close, let me bless you. Let me bless you. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.